This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to the Live Your Spa Life Show. Spa Life is where accomplishment and harmony coexist. Now, here's your host and Spa Life curator, Diane Halfman.
Hello, and welcome to the next episode of the Live Your Spa Life Show. Spa Life is a lifestyle that accepts that accomplishment and harmony coexist. We have the conversation about having more clarity in your life, about contribution, and about elevating your consciousness. Love to talk to guests about how they're living their life and how they get to do their passion and what they get to do and have that balance while doing it. I am so thrilled to introduce my guest for today, which is Reggie Wells. He is best known as Oprah Winfrey's long-term makeup artist. He has had over 30 years of experience, and he is an Emmy award-winning makeup artist and the author of Face Painting. Reggie, welcome to the show.
It's my pleasure to be in any show with information and can help people. I'm there.
Oh, so wonderful. Now, I know that, you know, let's take people through your path, because you've had such, you know, a beautiful expression of who you are in art and got to be around so many amazing, wonderful people. Well, take us back to when you were with MICA at the Maryland Institute of College of Art.
Oh, my God, that's going all the way back. I was a little guy, came from high school and tried to go into a private art school. Well, I thought I had talent until I worked with these just hundreds of children or young people who were excellent at what they did. And drawing became a whole different way of understanding what your talent and gift was. Drawing did that for me.
I love that. So, you know, one of the things that you talk about is your education, your art education, is that no matter who you are, art is art. And it was a way of expression. I mean, there weren't very many Black men, pretty much non-existent in the fashion industry when you started. How was that with that path for you?
Well, it was like when my counselor asked me in 12th grade, what do you want to be? And I said, I wanted to be a fashion designer. And this 70-year-old man turned around to me and said, there are no Black fashion designers. And I thought about it. And I said, he's right. But he ruined my dream for just that moment. So it was my thing. He said, well, you're excellent in art. Why not take that and turn it into something big? Become a teacher and teach other people about your talent. And he helped me with that. And I found out the best way to do that was to become a teacher. And boy, am I glad of that. That really was the door that opened up all the creativity.
Well, Reggie, you were a trailblazer. So, I mean, you had the aspect of it, and you used the art to be able to really create. I mean, a lot of people don't know that, you know, you created a line, you know, the Hissy Fit cosmetic line that you created yourself. In fact, I have to, you know, brag on you a little bit. For some people won't get to see us, they'll actually get to see that I'm wearing Reggie's makeup.
Is that why you look so pretty?
Yes. And I have to show for those, I've got my Hissy Fit that I've got autographed here by Reggie. And I have to show you guys, I'm sorry for those of you who are just listening in and not gonna be able to see this, but you know, Reggie actually created the clock pots, which look at this, you guys, you're gonna love this. He has all the different times of day where you might have shadows and the simplicity to actually show up and be yourself. Right. I mean, this is such an ingenious thing that Reggie has created. And, you know, I just have to show both because I just showed the foundation.
Yes.
But the colors are so vibrant. I'm wearing I even put some on my lip. You'd be proud of me, Reggie. I put some on my lip and put a little bit of gloss so that I could connect the colors.
I have to stop you because that pot, it's all the pots are geared to the skin tone. And what I love about you, you went and expressed that those pots can be used anyway. I made it easy for women who didn't know how to pick their color. You're out of your tone, but I love that you experienced that tone, because I would have put you in the gold category or the corals. I would have put you there. I don't know. Did I put that on you?
You did.
Okay, so this is wonderful. I love the idea. That pot was introduced because I went for what Oprah couldn't do. She was a woman that didn't know how to do her makeup. So I really was inspired by her. She needed something to take with her So she could go from 12 o'clock all the way to 9 o'clock. And the whole pot was invented for you to retouch every hour of the time I told you to. And you have no problem because Reggie Wells actually told you what time to touch up. So it's a formula of different powder tones as the day gets longer.
Well, you know, it makes it so much easier to, you know, when I travel, I take it with me because it makes it easy for me to know what time and to touch it up and to be able to utilize, you know, the colors in a different way. And I love how you talk about, you know, the face as being an art palette and that you couldn't find the colors that you wanted for people back then. And so you had to create something on your own.
Thank God I was an artist because for dark skinned women back in 1970, when I went to New York, did not exist. So I had to mix and match. Thank God I had painting, the painting courses that I had when we used to do landscapes. And everybody talks about the color wheel, and I'm sure somebody's going to get mad at me for that. I'm very against a color wheel. And I'll tell you why, because they used to teach color wheels, but we never had a color wheel in art school. And Rembrandt didn't either, and Michelangelo didn't. All the people who painted, they would drop the paint or mix the paint accordingly. So we've seen colors that were invented by a lot of luck and a lot of creativity. So if you stick to the wheel, we already know the basics of how you mix colors. But that doesn't mean you can't strike it with another cross. And that's what I'm experiencing now with all the repetition that is in makeup. How do we come up with something from 2030. Why don't we think ahead? Why don't we think on an artistic level? I'm looking at the background of where you're standing, and I see this multitude of colors. But guess what? Now you become a part of that painting just by introducing that on your skin. So right now, you are part of a painting, like Michelangelo or anybody else that could do it. And this is the way I want people to think.
How is the color world different than the color palette where you're using all the different colors?
Well, the color wheel you're talking about?
Yes.
The wheel forces you not to think. The wheel was introduced for you to get this basic technology. But if you hold that wheel too long in your hand and not let it go through your head and let you create artistically, you're going to be stuck in a mold like we are in the makeup world today. Everybody's a copy of someone else. And that's not meant to be an artist. So don't use the word artist. You can say, I do makeup. Never put that tag on you as an artist until you earn it. That's me speaking as the teacher. You can tell that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, speaking of the teachers, I mean, you were revered by many as the dean of the profession, and your clientele like reads like an A-list of celebrities in Hollywood. I mean, you've done makeup for Oprah, Beyonce, Whitney Houston, Aretha Franklin, Brooke Shields, Mary J. Blige, Little Kim. I mean, how is it that all of these women that we all know in our household names became the faces that were in front of you?
I was fortunate that I went to New York after teaching school, and I told the kids that I'm really going to New York to become famous and make a difference. Well, they had already been used to that because I changed the whole way the system was being taught when I taught art in the public school. So when I went there, I said that I have to build a portfolio full of things that we haven't seen before. And so thank God I was able to paint on a whole different level because I didn't want my face to look like everyone else's. And I think it struck Oprah when I did her in 1986 for a cover of Essence. And she said, my God, I've never seen my face look like this before. I said, well, thank God we met on this level. And she took it from there because she had never seen herself being colorful enough. And I think it changed the way. I think I have 80 magazine covers of the Essence magazine. Nobody's ever had it. At least 100 and I think about 32 covers of the O magazine. So that's a lot of magazine work. And that's what got me across in New York City.
Well, it's so impressive. I mean, you think about, you know, to be on that many covers of the magazine, you've really changed the culture of how people can, you know, look at themselves and express, like you say, beyond the wheel to really come into the uniqueness of the colors that work for them and to start stand out as your own piece of art.
Well, you know, I have a course called Facetology where I teach the skull and then I go to the skin. Because what we don't know, if you don't analyze a face, you make people look the same. And what I found out when I started to feel faces and their skulls, everybody's bones are not in the same place, meaning that you can't paint the same. There's your cheekbone. You go down to your jaw and you look at your forehead. This brow bone that comes where everybody draws the brow, and now they either overextending the bone or they're going beneath the bone. And so what you do, Facetology gets you introduced to the names of the bones, the zygomatic bone, and all kinds of different bones. So I speak. I don't demonstrate. I never have. I give you a formula, writing it out. It's already, give it to you, and you have to bring it back to me, Phil. That formula. And that's hard for some people because they're so used to copying or pretending to know where they what they want to do. And the better you get knowing the skull, it's going to make you the most wonderful artist you could ever be.
I love that you're having people, you're introducing your concepts, but you're also, you know, as the teacher, the hat that you wear as a teacher, you're really forcing people to know themselves and know how it works for them so that they can be unique and have different aspects of themselves. And I love that you're so passionate about this, that you're not just, I mean, I know you'd mentioned like, you know, all the times you were doing work with like Beyonce, that she was asking you so many questions. And, you know, look how amazing her makeup looks all the time. Right. And
but so, you know, even questions on everything, you know, I had an art club when I was in school, I had a dance group, I had a stage, decorating group. I had a lighting group. So I had kids and young people how to do that because I knew someday in my life I would be doing the same thing. And thank God I had all that background to do that with. I look back at my life right now and I say, I'm 70 years old, but if I could go back, I wouldn't change anything. The good, the bad, the ugly, because all of that is a treasure when it comes to experience. And that's what I want makeup artists and people in the creative field to know, that there is no wrong and right in creating. But if you look around you, everything has been created by an artist. That chair, those earrings you have on, that hairstyle, that painting in the back, the shirt I'm wearing, all of that is designed and created. And that's what I made children think of. Those who couldn't draw found out they have something they do well. And that's what creativity is, something you do well.
I love that so much. It's so fascinating for me that you've taken this passion and you've touched so many lives with it. And, you know, so many people live their life by default, where they just kind of let things happen.
Yes.
You've really lived your life by design, where you've really focused on exactly what you want to do. And, you know, you had a problem with somebody telling you couldn't do something and you overcome a lot of boundaries to move through that. Where does that passion come from? How is it that you designed your life that moved you, you know, beyond other people that were still maybe looking in the same realm, but that you moved that much further?
I was always curious. I was always in something I wasn't supposed to be in. As a little boy, I was doing things I wanted to compete against anybody. The boy who could hit a ball, the girl who could play jacks, the one who could hopscotch the best, and I would even climb a tree just to prove that I could do it. And from the tree, I went to the telephone poles. And so I was always competing with someone else, showing them that anything is possible. And I think I gathered around a lot of people, and I was so talented when I was a child. And I have to thank God for that, because I could draw, and I had the best handwriting in the school at the time. I remember loving to do handwriting. And when I became a teacher, cursive writing was dying out. It was like, didn't exist. Everybody was printing. And so I made that a part of my course When I was teaching 7th and 8th and 9th grade, I would go back to penmanship. And it was like they were going to another world. I put him into another world because I feel that if there's something they miss, then we need to go back. See, teaching now has to go on a different level. I don't like, and I hope I don't hurt anybody's feelings, when the girl said, I'm taking a makeup course, Reggie. I said, you are? What are you taking? She said, well, we have a course in how to do brides. I said, you do? Could you tell me how to do a bride? Because I don't know the difference. What I'm trying to say is there's no such thing as knowing how to do a bride. There's such thing as that the girl is getting married. And whatever she feels she needs, you need to be able to produce that. Whether she wants a smoky, there's no latch on anything anymore. You know, the pink lipstick doesn't have to always be there anymore for the bride.
Right, right. If you look at the person and how they want to experience, you know, their day, no matter what they're doing, it's more of stepping into that reflection.
I wish the teachers would have experience before they teach. I always ask, who's your teacher? She said, her name is Valerie. And she used to work down at the store, and she started to do makeup in the neighborhood. And now she's charging us to teach us. I said, well, be careful who you go to, because somebody or someone could be actually more advanced than each other. So I see these enormous, extraordinary prices for people to get paid to teach you when they don't have that much experience. I mean, this is my 45th year in painting faces.
Wow, Reggie, I'm so impressed that you have, you know, had such longevity in this. I mean, you know, you could have, you know, quote, retired from this, but I know this is like your passion. So what keeps you so passionate to continue to teach and to do the canvas of people's faces? I mean, what keeps you in the game?
Because if God has put a reason for you to be on earth and giving you enough blessings to be talented. I learned that from Oprah. You can be blessed and talented. And if you waste it, you waste it. I think that's an insult to God, because if I'm living, I want to be teaching. If I'm teaching, I want to change someone's life. Thank God I was in the system long enough to know that anybody. I used to go to Rikers Island to volunteer with prisoners just because I wanted to see, could I bring art into the jail? And I did. I had people come in every night, young people, adolescents that wanted a change. And I noticed that they're not changing because you're not teaching them how to change. You're trying to teach them Columbus in 1492 discovered, and that's not what's happening. Education now should be look at the child, look at his background, and teach him, not one and one is two, teach him how to come together. We have no humanity anymore, and that's what's missing. So I would bring a group of people, and I still volunteer in public schools around the country. I walk into a situation, and I try to clean it up, and at least a half an hour. And I've done it because I feel like the people want to know they exist. If you acknowledge them, teach them, you're going to have a better child, a better human being, a better adult all the time. I still talk to my student, and they're in 57-year-old range now, and I still speak to them.
I find it so refreshing that a lot of times when people think of a makeup artist, they think of the surface of how people are looking.
Exactly.
But you really, you know, art has so much depth to it. And so for you to be able to look at the person, right? And
I appreciate you saying that. People don't go deep enough into a person. I was handicapped because all the children in that classroom could not draw. I didn't know how valuable I was. Or blessed I was when I could draw an apple and 32 other children couldn't do it. But I found that if I point to Sally, and Sally has a beautiful hairdo, I always say, Sally, well, how did you do that? And she discovered, well, I just twisted. Look at her discovering And it has nothing to do with drawing or painting. And so what we do is we need to discover what's inside people. What's the creative energy? We could save so many lives. And I know we're talking about makeup, but we're talking about the world, because the world is art. You know, I would look at a tree. I used to love a weeping willow tree. I used to see a weeping willow tree, and I'd pull out a pencil and draw that tree turning. And I just appreciate when I see a baby walk through the grass in a tree. You know, all those minutes that we have, we capture them now on paper or in pictures, but we should capture them in our hearts and our mind, because that's Mother Nature at her best. Absolutely. We always see a painting every day.
You know, Reggie, I love how you talk about how art is everything. That everywhere you look around, you can see the beauty in that. And so one of the things that I really wanted you to be on the show, because in Spa Life, when we look at a lifestyle that you're creating, yes, have this harmony and accomplishment. I mean, you could have focused on doing just accomplishing and your A-list people, but you look at the totality of how does it impact the world, and how is it by when someone shows up as their best that they can really connect with people, and that they can show their deeper people, that they can see each other with more than just the physical eye, to look deeper below that.
Yes, and definitely. It's just, I hate when the music and art was taken out of schools around the country.
Yes.
You can't take music and art away. I did not teach a class without music playing. Back in the 70s, my principal didn't know what was going on. He said, "What is that?" I said, "It's music." He said, "Are the children there?" I said, "Yes, step in and look at them. They're drawing to music." He said, "But what are they drawing?" I said, "They start off with a line, a point, and they take that line in any direction, any edge, any, until they come to the ending of that point." He said, "That's drawing?" I said, "Not only is it drawing, but it's experience and telling you how to get to a certain point and another point. And inside of that, you're creating." Isn't that amazing? They were creating. Whatever that mosaic was, they were in it. And the music took them there.
Oh, that is so beautiful. One of the things I'm hearing about, like with art and music, that is like where you're taking time out of your life, yes, for expression. And we hear so many people talk about how busy they are, you know, and we all have 24 hours in a day. And a lot of people would look like, well, that's like an extra activity, or how does that fit into your life? And, you know, what is your secret of how, you know, with all the busyness and all the things that you have committed to doing in your life, that you get the most out of your day?
Well, you have to breathe. You got to breathe in between your day. And most people don't. You know, we're in this technology, and I'm so behind in it, as you already know. And I'm not interested in it, because my thing is, if I can take the time out and draw a picture, or I can take technology and use it to teach a group of people at one time, that's the beauty of that. But slowing down and breathing, they'll mess up if they don't acknowledge their gift. Everybody has something they do well. I don't care if it's the little boy tying his shoe before the age that anybody else could. That's a talent. That's a gift. Okay. I don't care if it's the old woman who can still braid her hair and she's 80 years old with arthritis. She can still do it. So those are people who are capturing the moment. And when we don't capture our gift and pay attention to it, we've wasted time on earth. Let me back that up. If we don't capture our gift and the time, we've wasted our time on earth. We speed around so quickly. I see road rage. Look at what's happening in the world today. That's why I speak to everybody I see. I don't care if it's in a coffee shop. I have started communicating with people who don't talk. And I will interfere. I saw a family in dinner one day, with two children and a husband and a wife, and nobody looked up to see what their food was. They were all texting. And I said to them, "How did you enjoy your food? How did you enjoy your dinner?" And they looked at me like it was strange. They looked at me like, "Were you watching us?" The problem was you weren't watching me. And the problem was you weren't watching your meal. So they didn't eat, not the way they should have ate. So slow down, breathe, and smell the coffee and the flowers, and breathe. And you'll find out that you're slowing down to things you never even noticed before.
Well, Reggie, what I'm hearing is, which is so lovely, is that you're looking at not just the physical act of doing art or makeup, but it's living your life as art, to be present to your life.
Exactly.
And to look at what's in front of you and have that immediate appreciation.
That's amazing. That's the kind of message I want to get across. That, and that's why I go out and I speak to groups of children and adults. I'm working with the senior citizens now. That's what I wanted to tell you. We have a group and a company, and we're taking women over 65 and doing total makeovers. You know, total makeovers. You know, when I met you, I was grabbing people off the floor. I was telling people, come here, let me show you this lipstick. And before you know it, they got interested. And
I was volunteering. I'm like, let me do it.
I know. You kept coming. And I said, and what you say? I'll be right back. So that's good. Everybody should be right back at something. So, and when you have that information that you can learn from and appreciate, that's the gift that we need. We're not a loving America. We're not a loving world anymore. And I think that whole key word is love. Love. If we know how to do that and can show it, even if it's not returned, always give it to. And I find these senior citizens, they fall in love with me. You know, they want to go home. They want to, because I call them forgotten women. And a lot of them that I go into retirement homes, I sort of wake them up because their family doesn't come to see them anymore. But when I put a lipstick on an 88-year-old woman and she starts smacking her lips, I'm talking about, I used to wear this years ago and start crying when she looks in the mirror. That's
so beautiful.
That's what life is all about.
I love this. You're like reawakening women to the expression of themselves that they've long forgotten. I mean, what happens, you know, in certain age? I mean, it used to be that the women and men were our wise counsel, right? And there was a certain amount of respect and
yes,
wisdom that they've gotten through their experience. So I love that you are bringing out, by awakening them with the makeup, it's awakening all of their experience, all of who they are, so they can step into more of their brilliance.
Okay. That's how you do it. I'd say that's the way we do it. I love it because I like when people get it. And I found out when I do talk to women, they want to ask questions. They want to know how to love themselves even more. And I think, thank God you have a show like this and some that we can get information out to people who actually need it. And I think you should keep doing more of this.
Oh, thank you, Reggie.
I enjoy this.
Well, it's been a pleasure having you here and having this conversation with everyone. And I want to ask you something, because we talked about your space, your environment. And, you know, one of the things that we talk about here at Spa Life is how everything is a reflection of everything else. And so I love to ask my guests, you know, in your home, you know, we have a different experience in our bedroom versus our kitchen versus our family room and our office. What is your favorite room in your home and why?
Well, let me just say about being a home and having a house for 15 years and didn't get to stay in it as much as I, because we were traveling all over the world with Oprah. And Oprah said, why is that big house necessary? And I thought about it, and it really wasn't necessary, because what I would do is escape to my tea room. I had a little room I called a tea room, and it had all the paintings on it and had all the acoustics that were right for sound. And I found myself, that's where I drew the clock pot. That's where I drew it. One day I sat there and I said, let me invent something for Oprah to take with her. And I started to say, most women will not understand directions, but they understand the clock.
Yes.
They say, if I say 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 6 and 9, and those are different powder tones that will change accordingly. So when I was in my room, my tea room, I tried to think of what a woman would want to hold in their hand. So I made the mirror large enough so you could see your image in there, And you should also see your clock at the same time. So that's the foundation and the powder. So yeah. Each powder tone changes. And then I thought about how you put that in color. Did you know they come out? They're refillable. And we're about to take that on Shark Tank, by the way. That's my patent. And we're going to take it on Shark Tank. Because HissyFit is not the company anymore. It's actually the company called the Clock Pot.
Perfect.
Yeah, so we were discovered in Australia. That company was an Australia company. And they wanted me to do a pot. And that's what we came up with. My atmosphere is always nesting in the tea room and coming up with ideas.
I love that.
Not my bedroom, because I used to go to sleep too often. So I would sit up and drink my tea.
I love that your tea room is your inspiration place and your favorite space. I love that so much. So, well, Reggie, I know that our listeners are going to want to stay in contact with you. How can they do that?
You can get in touch with me. Let me give you my email address.
Okay.
So I don't mind you having it. It's reggiewells92@gmail.com. And, you know, I still have room for Facebook. If anybody's interested, you can find out what I'm doing. And I'm on Instagram, reggiewells9 on Instagram. So I'm posting a part of my history. I'm getting ready to write my memoir. Well, it's already been slightly written. We got one more year to go.
Wow.
And we're going to have that out too.
Wonderful. Oh, well, thank you so much. And, you know, happy early birthday for your 70th
birthday. Well, thank you. Yeah. I'm going to go right in another tea room because I don't have mine anymore. I've downsized. I'm in a beautiful condo, but it didn't have a tea room. But I get to go out and drink tea a lot.
Oh, perfect. Well, we're kindred spirits.
Yeah.
Okay. I love having my tea time too.
Yes.
So good. Well, Reggie, thank you so much for being part of the show and sharing your path and your passion for art and really, you know, touching the lives, because people who maybe don't even think of themselves as beautiful or as artistic, yes, or all these labels that they have, that we all have beauty and art within us. And we just express it in different ways. So thank you for blazing that trail for people to see it.
It's all around you. Take care now. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. And, you know, for our listeners out here who, you know, are really looking at how is it that you can look at your life, your physical space and your mindset, and how are you doing that self-care to be the best person that you are, to really step into your passion. You know, I invite you to take my free quiz at liferesetquiz.com. See where you're winning, where you're doing well, and where you might need some support. So we'd love to have you connect with us. And Reggie, again, thank you so much for your time and your wisdom.
Thank you, Diane. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. And listeners, until we connect again, live your spa life. Bye for now.
Your host and spa life curator, Diane Halfman, wants you to know you can download her free guide to start living your spa life right now. Go to dianehalfman.com and click on the link for the 9 secrets to step into your spa life. Now, live your spa life where accomplishment and harmony coexist.
You know what drives me crazy? When business owners believe that just because they're not on stage speaking, they don't need stage presence. Stages come in all shapes and sizes. You're on the stage when you're in a boardroom, talking to a prospect, or introducing yourself and your company. I invite you to join me on a free educational webinar called How to Triple Your Income Through Speaking. Learn the critical ingredients to make impact and income on any type of stage. Go to speakersuccessformula.com and grab your spot now.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. Are you ready to rise up and share all your greatness to the world? Stop playing small and settling for mediocrity? If so, then you need to join us at our eWomen Network Entrepreneur Conference and Business Expo in Dallas this year, August 3rd through the 5th. There will be hundreds of women entrepreneurs from all over the world waiting to meet you to share knowledge, wisdom, and even partnerships. Get ready to be coached by me and learn from other multi-million dollar speakers who will teach, inspire, motivate, and guide you to transform your thinking from small to big. And you can't beat the food and fun at our Saturday night dance party either. Look, no one makes it alone, so it's time to stop trying to be the COE. chief of everything, and step into your role as CEO. There is nothing like the eWomen Network Conference to bring out your genius and help you take action on living your dream. Register at eWomenNetwork.com.
This is the EWN Radio Network.